Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 2024 CONCACAF Champions Cup Semifinals First Leg Review Show here on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what you got in that big semifinal matchups was unbelievable, awesome CONCACAF soccer at its finest in the international club tournament. And you know what? It has to be said. This is why we have the top four clubs in this region battling against each other. Pachuca versus Club America, and of course, the Columbus Crew against Monterrey. And as we were watching these games last week in the first leg, or should I say this past week in the first leg, I should say, you know, we expected a knock-em-out, drag-em-out battle between America and Pachuca, especially over at the Estadio Azteca. I mean, look, I think these clubs know each other very well. And it all depends on who wants it more and who is going to play these games better than the other. But what we got in that one, I have to say, was an amazing night of international soccer on the club level. I really thought what we got in that one was just, like I said, knock them out, drag them out, and finding ways to gain an advantage wherever they are. And you know what? It was awesome. It was just awesome. All I can tell you is this, is that when it comes to this tournament, the best come out, and at times the wild and wacky happens. But I will say this, and I think it's interesting to say, and to say this. Did Wilfred Nancy get it right in this first leg? Did he actually get it correct and found a way to maybe frustrate Monterrey? It's a possibility. But once again, I don't usually count possibilities. No, I don't. Because if the Columbus Crew are going to do anything big, it's when we get to the Estadio BBVA in the second leg down in Mexico. Because once again, it has to be said, it just has to be said, you cannot, as an MLS club, cannot take these matches for granted. That's right. You're going to have to go and do the deed down there. You're going to have to go and find the way to let them know down there that you mean business. Even though the Crew were able to get the victory, and it was a huge victory, but once again, it came at a cost. You allowed an away goal. In the competition like this, that's more than enough for Monterrey to have a lifeline going back home. That was the one lifeline the Columbus Crew could not afford to give Monterrey. And of course, you're probably going to be asking me, well, Pachuca got an away goal. Yeah, but that's different, though. And I'll tell you why it's different. It's different because Liga MX clubs know each other back and forth, inside and out, up and down, and around the bout. So if you think for one second, if you are a Columbus Crew supporter or an MLS supporter and believe that this is going to be an easy piece of cake and you've got another thing coming. Absolutely not. This is not a piece of cake. This is the moment where, unfortunately for Columbus, they gave a lifeline to Monterrey. Now, obviously, what would be the best thing to do down the road? For CONCACAF to get rid of away goals? Well, it would be nice, but it looks like they're going to stay and be a part of this. I know UEFA Champions League has gotten rid of the away goal rule, but look, CONCACAF wants to leave it in there. CONCACAF wants to be different. CONCACAF wants to have more excitement. And, you know, I'll say this. Maybe one day CONCACAF will finally look at away goals and say, listen, if it's run through its course and it's time to get rid of it, then it's time to get rid of it. But until they do, it's going to remain. Would I like to see them get rid of the away goal rule? You know what? You know, here's the thing, and usually I would probably go along with it to say it's time to get rid of it, but I don't mind it, strangely enough. I just don't mind it. It brings an extra layer of excitement and fun. And sometimes, you know, if you want to make this analogy, it's up to you. I will, because this is how I see certain things. You know, when you go to a baseball game, you go to a major league ballpark, and you always have these ballparks that has these quirky rules, how the fences are built, weird and strange. You know, it's like Fenway Park with the big green monster. If it goes off the wall, depending on where you hit it, it's a double or a triple. If you hit it all the way above and over the monster, it's a home run. And you have different ground rules in these stadiums. That's how I see away goals. It's that little quirkiness that I think the CONCACAF Champions Cup must have, and they must keep it. That's how I feel. This is how I feel. I like the quirkiness. I don't mind it. It adds another level of fun and excitement and, you know, makes you sweat in your pants, that's for sure. But all I can say is this. I don't mind keeping it if it's going to entertain and give you big moments of excitement. 9 times out of 10, it doesn't come into play. But when it does... When it does, it's worth the price of admission to watch these games happen. So for now, I think it's a fun little thing. You know, look, if they get rid of it one day, will it be sad? No, not really. I don't think so. I really think what we are going to see here is certain things that, you know, if it gets changed, so be it. If not, then we'll just leave it alone and just let it keep on going. But, you know, once again, I really believe that it's a fun little mechanism. It can be a bit harrowing, but one thing is for sure, and that is this. It is a lot of fun when used properly. And I really don't mind it if it remains in CONCACAF. But if one day they get rid of it, then so be it. And once again, it's all gone if the match does go into extra time. Because that was the right thing to do. If you don't want to keep away goals in an extra time period, that's what UEFA should have done. Kept away goals into the extra time period, which that was wrong. if you did not level or win the away goal rule, if it's leveled all over the place, then you got to get rid of it in extra time. Plain and simple. Like I said, that's what it is. Even though right now Pachuca has that advantage, unfortunately, and so does, of course, so does Monterrey. But one thing is for sure, folks, this is going to be a lot of fun in the second leg. And the hope is for the Columbus Crew that they could put in not just one, but at least two away goals if they can. And really, really scare Monterrey. Put, and Club America is probably going to do the same thing. Get some away goals and put a scare into Pachuca and take the tie with them. Until then, next week, the second leg, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. Cannot wait till we get to that moment, and cannot wait when we have ourselves the moment where an MLS club will return to the final and hopefully for the second time win the CONCACAF Champions Cup. That's the truth. That's the hope. Because it's going to be a big achievement once again. We all know the Seattle Sounders were the first ones to do it, to finally win the international club competition. Can they do it again for the Columbus Crew to represent Major League Soccer and get into the Club World Cup? That's what's the most important thing here, the Club World Cup. And yes, I know it's been expanded. But the truth is, this is a very important thing, much more important than League's Cup, to say they're the best club in the entire world, depending on how long they can last. So we'll get to that in a moment, but one thing is for sure. This is going to be probably the biggest moment, not just for the Columbus Crew, but for MLS. Knocking out Monterrey is the biggest thing on their plate right now. We know what's on the line for the Crew with MLS, with the regular season. We all know that. But one thing is for sure, and it has to be said, it is a big moment for the Crew, not only just to represent MLS, but to also represent the game as a whole in this country, to go out and find that way to knock off one of the biggest and baddest clubs in all of Liga MX. Club America is there as well. Guadalajara is there as well, without a doubt. But trust me, folks, knocking off Monterrey is just as huge as knocking off some of those big, big name clubs in Liga MX. So get ready for a bumpy ride. It's going to be a lot of fun here. We'll see what the situation will be. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to review these matches in the CONCACAF Champions Cup as we get ready to talk to my guests tonight. Waiting for my first guest to join me tonight. He covers the Columbus Crew for the Massive Report. And that is Adam Miller, just waiting for him to give us a call to get ready to go. And we will be ready to have him on. So let's go ahead and let's have some fun. And let's see what happens when Adam gives us a call. So we're just waiting for him to call. And let's see here. Let's hopefully have him on. And we do have him on. It is Adam Miller from the Massive Report joining us tonight. Adam, welcome. And how about that first leg victory by the Columbus Crew against a very, very tough side in Monterey?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was a good Wednesday night, and hoping for another one coming up next week.
You know, I have to tell you, I think Wilfred Nancy really played his cards right in the first leg. I really think, call me crazy, but I think he really dictated the match from start to finish. I know he frustrated Monterey, and I know they got their away goal, but still, though, to me it felt like 9 out of 10, Wilfred Nancy got this right.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it would have gone pretty much the way that he would have wanted to, aside from the away goal. I thought that Monterey probably had the ball a little bit more than he would have liked, but all in all, I mean, you can't really complain with the result and the performance.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when you're talking about how the Crew, once they got the ball, you know, looked dangerous on the attack, I thought they peppered Andraza very well in goal. And it just, to me, it just felt like Andrada, I thought the Crew was really, really looking dangerous throughout the entire match.
Yeah, I thought so, especially the first half. I thought they were really dangerous and really effective, forced a lot of good saves. And then I thought for the first probably 20 or so minutes of the second half, they maybe took their foot off the gas just a little bit, and then it kind of got kicked back into gear towards the end once the game had been tied. But I thought the first half especially, they looked super dangerous and forced a lot of good saves.
You know, Cucha Hernandez, who opened the scoring in the 26th minute, you know, I know he's a very good player. You know he's a very good player, obviously. He wouldn't be a very good player if the Crew didn't go get him. But to me, sometimes, you know, a striker needs to be a little cunning, needs to be a little bit savvy, needs to handle the ball while he's being surrounded by 2 to 3 defenders and somehow find a way to get that seam to open just enough for him to blast the ball into the back of the net. That was an amazing goal he scored to open the scoring.
Yeah, it was a great goal. It's exactly, I imagine that when Nancy and the Crew staff kind of sit around in the office or on the practice field and kind of draw up their ideal goal, I bet it looks a lot like that one. And Cucho, I thought, was unbelievable all game, and certainly in that moment, you know, that's why you go out and you buy a guy like that for those moments and those goals that there's very few people in the league and probably in the CONCACAF region that can do it as consistently as Cucho. So it was a great goal, beautiful, you know, people will call it Nancy ball, but just really good kind of from start to finish and one of the better goals, probably certainly that the Crew have scored all year, but I would venture to guess one of the better goals in the Champions League kind of across the whole competition up to this point at least.
Absolutely. You know, I have to ask you, you know, Patrick Schulte has been amazing since coming up through Crew 2 and helping the Crew winning the MLS Cup Championship after, you know, the Eloy Room era ended. Can we say maybe this was one of those games he had not a lot of work done in his area?
Yeah, I don't think he didn't have a ton of really complicated stuff to do. I know he made a really big save on Vasquez early in the game, and then Vasquez, I think, had one that hit the post as well. I thought as the game went on, Monterrey actually looked – I know they scored in the second half, but I thought they looked – less and less dangerous sort of in possession. Obviously the goal kind of comes from a giveaway and then some poor defending, but yeah, he didn't have a ton to do. But the stuff that he did have to do, I thought he did, and he did very well. And he's becoming that sort of goalkeeper where he You know, pretty consistent at making the saves and doing the things that he needs to do. And then every once in a while, he'll wow you with a great save or a great performance. So he's certainly trending in the right direction.
He really is. And I got to tell you, I really, really thought that he had at least one or two good moments. I thought positioning-wise, I thought Schulte was solid, but not a lot of work there, unfortunately, but still, though. And then, of course, unfortunately, 2 minutes before the hour mark, Monterey does get that goal, and I think that's the one moment where I thought Schulte should have done better on that cross.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he kind of got caught in between, it seemed like to me, trying to get it with the dive, which he obviously missed, or just moving across and trying to block it. Obviously, hindsight is 20/20. I would have preferred him probably to just try and move with the ball and get in a position to block it, but probably shouldn't be in that position anyways. You know, that kind of comes from a sloppy turnover and then some poor defending, nobody track post. So I thought he could have been better, but I think probably of the 11 players on the field for the Crew, probably 8 to 9 of them could have been better in that moment.
Yeah, probably so. But I will say this, though. What has Jason Russell Rowe been for the Crew ever since he got taken? To me, he looks dangerous. He does well on attacks. I thought he had a great position when he took that cross and headed the ball down on the ground and beat Andrada for the second goal to make it 2-1. And to me, it just felt like, you know, he's in the right place at the right time. What has he been like for the Crew since coming over?
Yeah, he's been good. I mean, he was obviously the MLS Next Pro MVP 2 seasons ago, and I think he's starting to get a lot more playing time probably than we've seen in the past. I actually think he's gotten a lot better at sort of his link-up play and possession and his movement, and then I think he still needs to develop probably a little bit more efficiency in front of goal, but obviously I think he's got like 4 or 5 goals across all competitions so far this year, so trending in the right direction. He's an exciting young player. I think he's only like 21 or 22, so he's one that I think could be around in black and gold for a while.
No, I agree with you there too. I think that's going to be huge for him, and it's going to be huge for the Crew going forward, but definitely he's going to do a lot of good things there for the Columbus Crew. Overall, like I said, I thought this was a solid performance from Nancy and the Crew. I really thought they played their game. They frustrated Monterey. I mean, you probably saw it as much as all of us did. I mean, you saw the frustration from Monterey's head coach, Fernando Ortiz. Did you feel like the Crew were actually doing what they were supposed to do out there?
Yeah, I think for the vast majority of the game, I think there was maybe a 5-minute spell in the beginning where they weren't great, and then 15 to 20 minute spell in the second half. But I think over the course of 90 minutes, I think that they were probably the better team. And I mean, look, the one thing we know about Nancy and the Crew is they're not really going to change who they are, or what they try and do. They didn't do it against Tigres. They didn't do it Wednesday. They won't do it this coming Wednesday. So I think to a certain extent, they kind of just do that. Like, they're just used to doing that. They don't change too much. And I think because of that, they've gotten really good at what they're trying to do. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's probably one of those for Monterey where they maybe feel like they shouldn't have given up that second goal. But I would imagine that people on their side are also happy with the away goal and knowing that they kind of have a slight advantage heading into the second leg with the away goal.
Now, no, absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think Nancy's going to have to do in the second leg? Look, I don't have to tell you what is going to happen down there at the Estadio BBVA, because you know as well as I do, outside of the Crew having that monster second leg against Tigres, and of course they're going to try and do the double down there against Monterrey, what do you think Nancy's going to have to do? Because I think you would agree with me, sitting back and defending and bunkering for 90 minutes, it's not going to work, because you know as well as I do, Monterrey is coming, and they're home, and they're going to do anything and everything in their power to gain the advantage as much as possible.
Yeah, I think they actually need to do the opposite. I think they need to try and attack and be on the front foot, which is what the team is built to do. That's how Nancy wants to play. The reality of the situation is if the Crew get a goal, especially if they can score the first goal, they're going to have a massive advantage. So I would actually go the other way and say they need to kind of keep the ball and be on the front foot and try and attack, especially early on. And we've seen them do that in the past or try and do that in the past. I don't think that anything will change from their end. They're just going to be they're going to be who they are. So I hope and I expect that Nancy takes them down there and they're ready to attack and try and score. And as I say, once the Crew get one or two goals, it makes it, you know, a mountain to climb for Monterey. And I think the Crew need to try and have a little bit of that, like, killer instinct, especially early on. In this game, and I think they'll try, and we'll see how good they are at it. But I expect them and want them to attack and be on the front foot early.
Besides Brandon Vazquez, because we all know what he was all about. We've seen him before. You've seen him before at FC Cincinnati before making the transfer over to Monterey. But who else on Monterey right now worries you outside of Vazquez?
Yeah, Bertirame a bit up top. I think he is a little bit more, I don't know the word, like just flexible. Like Vazquez, you kind of know what you're going to get with him, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And I think Bertirame is a little bit more flexible and unpredictable. And then Sergio Canales in the midfield. I know I think he's a little older, but I actually thought he was probably their best player the other night. And those guys are all high-quality players who could play on just about any team in the MLS. So those guys, from an attacking standpoint, I think are definitely going to be or need to be closely monitored by the Crew down in Monterey.
No, absolutely. That's the big worry right there, because I think there might be altitude in Monterey. I could be wrong. I don't know. I have to double check that. But I think we all know there are parts of Liga MX stadiums where altitude is a problem. But still, though, you know, the Crew, like, once their weekend league matchup is over, they got to get on a flight and hop straight over and try and get acclimated over at Monterey. So I think that's going to be another issue for the Crew if they want to really get acclimated with the altitude over there in Mexico.
Yeah, I think so. I know when they went down to play Tigres, they left on they played Saturday and they left Sunday. So I expect them to do the same again to get down there and, yeah, acclimate to the time zone, acclimate to the altitude, the weather. It's probably going to be a little hotter there than Columbus. So I think they'll get down there as early as they can to try and get acclimated and get ready for a big one on Wednesday.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. So are you headed down to Mexico, to Monterrey, or you're going to watch it from home?
I'm going to watch from home. I'm saving my money for hopefully a trip to Mexico for a final. So I'm going to wait and see with my fingers crossed at home, and then if they're fortunate enough to go through, I think I'll be down there for the final.
So is that official? It's going to be down in Mexico, the final this year?
I don't think it's official yet. My understanding is that it's going to be based off of the two teams that are in the final, whichever one of them has the better sort of record over the course of the tournament will get to host. My understanding is that for the Crew to be able to host, they would have to beat Monterrey outright, and then Pachuca would need to beat Club America on penalty kicks. So I don't know how likely those two things are to happen in conjunction with each other, but I'm saving. Regardless, I'm saving money for the final one way or another.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens, and if it is the Crew's job to do it, then so be it. Thanks again, Adam. I appreciate it, and you have a good night, and good luck in the second leg.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and, yeah, we'll talk to you next week, hopefully with some good news.
Absolutely. Let's hope so. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
All right, take care.
All right, that's that's Adam Miller from The Massive Report talking about the Columbus Crew as they have won. I shouldn't say advanced because it's not advancing just yet. They still got to play that second leg. But they did win their first leg matchup over Monterrey to break the winning streak that Monterrey has had in CONCACAF Champions Cup or Champions League matches. So as we get ready for my next guest, he is the writer for FMF State of Mind of SB Nation, covering Liga MX for the Mexican clubs here in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Charlie Assam joining me right now as we talk about all three clubs. Charlie, good evening and welcome back.
Hey, Dan. Great to be back with you.
Great to have you back on as well. Let's go to Monterrey and Columbus first. What did you see from this match that you think Monterrey survived, but at the same time, are you concerned?
I would say no to the first and yes to the second. So I'll unpack that a little bit. So I don't think they survived. I think Columbus had an overall better performance. I think they probably did deserve the victory a little bit more than Rayados would have. That being said, I do think it was a very even match. I think in the end, it could have gone either way. Both clubs had, you know, multiple chances, multiple good, clear chances. And I do think Monterrey generated enough. And I probably think this was their best, you know, away first leg match in the entire tournament. So we had to wait until their fourth round here to get their best first leg performance. And ironically, it's the game that they end up losing. But that's the way it goes. So I don't think they survived. I think it was a very even match, and it could have gone either way. Just happened to go Columbus way. And in terms of, am I concerned? Yes, I am concerned because, you know, Columbus's speed is just so it's the exact ingredients of what hurts this slow and tall Rayados defense. It's what's hurt them over the past decade, you know, speedy teams. And especially in this position when they have to go and score and teams, you know, these speedy teams have them and can actually counter them. That's when they're, I think, you know, they're most vulnerable. So I am concerned, and it'll be interesting to see how Tan Ortiz manages that situation.
Let me ask you about Ortiz for a moment because, you know, before they equalized in the 58th minute from Meza, I have to admit I did not expect him to be frustrated in his technical area, Ortiz. I thought, they should have had maybe a couple of goals, you know, in the second half before the equalizer came, but to see Ortiz frustrated in his area the way he was, I think he was concerned.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of, you know, both this specific match, the way things were going, and then also the way they've been trending in the league as well. So, you know, over their past four league matches, they have three losses and one draw. Before that, they were undefeated. I believe they were tied for first place overall. And now they're close to sinking, you know, under sixth place, which would force them into a play-in situation for, you know, being able to ultimately make the Liga MX playoffs. So I think that frustration isn't just specifically this game. I think it's just a combination of situations going on for Monterrey that's kind of getting to Ortiz a little bit.
That's fine. I understand it completely. I do. I really, really do. When you saw the defense, like you were saying, the defenders of Monterrey were a little slow. Did that worry you when Cucho Hernandez had the ball how many times inside Monterrey's area? Would that concern you how he was able to, I wouldn't say like a hot knife through butter, but at least he was able to get inside certain seams to find a way to either pass the ball to an open man or to take the shot like he did to open the scoring?
Yes, yes. It did worry me, and that's exactly what I expected also. You know, between him and, you know, Rossi's talent and quality on the ball, I mean, it's just a killer combination for a slow defensive team like Rayados are. So yeah, you know, a team like Columbus who have great quality on the ball, you know, they've proven they can shoot from long range. They have great, you know, first touch or one touch ability also. You know, they send good dangerous crosses, and they have the strikers who can get their head on the ball, such as Russell Rowe, you know, on the second goal. I mean, they can hurt you in a number of ways, not to mention their speed on the flanks, on the sidelines. So, I mean, it's a very difficult team to defend, to cover, and especially so when you're slow on the defensive end. And that's just been, you know, for some reason, that's just been Rayados. I guess that's been their you know, recipe on the defensive end for some reason. They've chosen to go with slow defenders. You know, now the inclusion of Arteaga on that left back side, he has just been amazing, you know, up and down the field, and, you know, tons of speed, exactly what they needed. But unfortunately, the rest of the defense, you know, the entire center and the right side as well, you know, still not up to enough speed. And and it proved costly for them the other night.
Let me ask you this. Did you think this would be a heavyweight matchup in the technical area between Nancy and Ortiz? Did you feel maybe that, you know, this could be the manager matchup that everyone in CONCACAF has been looking at?
I mean, I have to say I was surprised for the better, I think. A surprise in a good way, and this is on, you know, in terms of what I saw from Monterrey. What I saw from Columbus, I expected fully. I knew they were at home. I knew they wanted, you know, they were going to go out and search for that lead, which they ultimately got. There was no way they wanted to come back to, you know, Monterrey with a deficit or a tie. So I knew they were going to go search for that lead. But I have to say I was surprised for the better, you know, with what I saw from Ortiz's, I guess, game plan in terms of being offensive. There were certain stretches of the match where I thought, you know, they went and looked for the goal. They didn't get it. I mean, they ended up getting the tying goal, but, you know, that there was a stretch at the beginning of the match where they also could have taken a lead and didn't get it, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, I think it ended up being a pretty good matchup. I wasn't expecting it to be, to answer your question. I really wasn't expecting it to be because of how defensive and how laid back Ortiz had proven to be in Rayado's first three first leg matches. So yeah, I was surprised for the better, I have to say.
Now, I have to tell you, Charlie, I'm not a fool. I know the Estadio BBVA is a fortress for the Rayados. I know it's a dangerous place for anyone visiting Rayados, whether it's from Liga MX or any other league within the region. What do you expect Monterrey to do against Columbus now that the second leg is going to be down there?
That's a very good question, Dan. I mean, I think the obvious answer, at least to me, would be, you know, you come out firing, looking for a goal in the first 15, 20 minutes, you know, and try to get that goal you need and just kind of, you know, try to manage the rest of the match if you can and as much as you can. But, you know, especially, you know, considering Columbus have such dangerous and speedy attackers, that's just the reality of the situation. However, knowing this Monterrey club in and out, in a sense, it wouldn't surprise me if they came out a little bit more relaxed, knowing they only need one goal. I mean, in the end, that's really all they need. course, if you sit back and, you know, and if Columbus do get a goal, that would obviously change, you know, your entire scenario. But in the end, if Rayados can score one goal and hold Columbus, you know, scoreless, if they can hold a clean sheet, that's all they're going to need. So I don't know. It's tough to tell. But if I had to guess, I would say they come out, you know, not as desperate as maybe, some would think, knowing that they only need one goal. And as you said, they're playing at home. I would expect the stadium to be, if not as full, if it was, you know, as full as it was for the Messi match, you know, against Inter Miami, but pretty close to that, I would say. And yeah, it can come at any time with all the quality they have up top. So I would expect him to take this calmly, because if he tries to go all out from the start and Columbus get an early goal, that could end things, you know, earlier than he would like. So that's my guess.
All right. Well, that's fine. That's great. Listen, look, we'll see what happens. Like I said, look, Monterrey got the away goal. I am not counting them out, because even though the Crew got the win 2-1, Monterrey still got the away goal, and they're going to be dangerous at home. I'm well aware of it. So, you know, look, this is anyone's series right now. So we'll see what happens in the second leg. But finally for me, what was the streak that Monterrey was on, a consecutive winning streak? What, in the games this edition or for the last several years? What was that streak that was broken by the Crew on Monterrey?
Oh, this season they had won all six matches, I believe. That's the streak I was aware of. So yeah, I think they break their consecutive six game winning streak for this season, I believe.
Okay. Okay, good. Just want to make sure I got it correct, because I didn't want to make a mistake. So let's talk about Club America and Pachuca. To me, this is the big boy game. This is the big boy game, obviously, because Pachuca, what a year they're having right now in Liga MX. We all know how big and strong Club America is. Did you think this was going to be the heavy hitter match of this Champions Cup?
I did because of how dynamic and how talented offensively both of these teams are. I mean, if we're giving all these compliments to Columbus and Rayados, I mean, I think America and Pachuca would have to be the same and more in my opinion, because we're talking two managers who are, you know, they love to be on the offense. They never stop coming. Doesn't matter if they've got, you know, no goals on you, or if they have five or six goals on you, they just keep on coming. They don't change their system for anything. And it's just such a dynamic way to attack. I mean, they can hurt you in so many different ways. And I might be sounding a little repetitive in terms of what I, you know, commented, you know, on Columbus a second ago, but same here. I mean, it's just, they have so many different weapons. They can shoot, you know, from long range. They can send crosses in. They're great in, you know, in short spaces. I mean, they're just so good. And I did expect this to be the heavyweight matchup out of the two semifinals. And I believe it proved to be. I think this 1-1, if you just look at the result, it's hiding a lot more of what actually happened in the game.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I thought this was an amazing, amazing match. I thought both sides were ready to go maybe 40 rounds, if it's possible.
Yes.
I really thought this was an amazing game. It's a shame we didn't get a winner, but at the moment, Pachuca does have the advantage on the away goal at the moment. But, you know, for U.S. soccer fans out there that want to know, of course, with the national team, what has Alejandro Zendejas done under Jardine that he has really been successful putting the ball in the back of the net, especially during the Champions Cup run that they're having?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's the way I would put it is Jardine has put him in positions to succeed, you know, in the match. I feel that he's him forward a little bit more. He's given him that confidence boost to say, you know, go get in the box, go look for the ball. You know, if you find the ball, shoot, you know, don't be afraid to try. He plays with so much confidence. And then when he gets the ball outside, he dares to face defenders, you know, to try to go down all the way to the byline and send the cross in. It's just, he plays with such confidence and such quality also, because it's one thing to have confidence and, you know, it's another thing to perform, to actually be able to execute. But he's just been in the right places at the right time, it seems. It seems like he always finds a way to show up, you know, where the ball is or where he's actually needed. And then not only does he show up, but he also executes correctly. So it just seems to me it's the whole package. He's known where to place him exactly on the pitch, and then he's also given him the confidence to go ahead and execute.
No, absolutely. I think he's just been solid, and it's been fantastic to see, and hopefully he'll keep on doing it in Liga MX. And then, of course, the equalizer was scored by Norman Mikolta Arroyo. Look, he got the equalizer. They had to get it. What did you see on that play where he got into the correct position to put the ball in?
Well, he was left wide open. I mean, not without taking any credit away from him, he just walked right in there. I mean, they're clearly a defensive letdown from America. I'm not sure who was supposed to have him there, but he walked, you know, in between three America defenders there. Somebody should have clearly taken him. Nobody did. They probably all expected the other one to take him. And he just had the wide open, easy header there. More so what I take from the goal is, you know, the cross from Idrissi. Idrissi has just been amazing from Pachuca. I just could not stop watching him. I mean, I was following him. I was tracking him on the field. It's just amazing how many balls, you know, how many plays come through Idrissi, how much they depend on this guy, and just how good he is. I mean, he makes so many good decisions with the ball. He doesn't miss. He doesn't give the ball up. I mean, it's so tough to take it away from him. And he is the complete package. I mean, I can tell why they have him in the position, you know, like, you know, over to the left. But he always leans toward the center when he has the ball because he can shoot so well. He almost scored an amazing, you know, goal from right outside the box. Just great stuff from Idrissi. And it's so refreshing to see such a good quality player, and surprising. I mean, a Moroccan international. I mean, that's more surprising to me that, you know, they brought over a Moroccan player and he's produced as well as he has. I mean, it's refreshing to see, and it's great to see such quality on the ball.
So what you're saying is you're sick and tired of all these South Americans coming over to Liga MX? No, I'm just joking with you. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Dan, you can put all the words in my mouth you want, okay?
Hey, listen, I'm only kidding around. I know. I had to do that to you, Charlie. I gotta give you a laugh. That's all it is.
All good.
All I can say is, listen, look, if Gignac was able to come over to Liga MX and be a part of Tigres and, you know, winning the Champions League title a couple of years back for Tigres, I mean, why not have a Moroccan international come over to play for Pachuca? Sure. Why not? The one thing I'm disappointed, not very disappointed, but sure, obviously, Rondon did not convert in this match. I'm outraged. I'm protesting. Where's the goal, man?
You said it. I was about to mention that right now, and I think that's full credit to America's defense. Finally, you know, a team who realized what was going on with this Pachuca machine who was just running over everyone in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and they finally figured it out, you know? And it's funny, though, because Philadelphia, in the first leg against Pachuca, they gave Rondon no space at all. and then decided in the second leg to give him all the space he wanted, and he crushed them. He single-handedly put them away. And then for some reason, Herediano last round didn't get the memo, and they just left him open entirely for, you know, for both legs, and, you know, he put them away as well single-handedly again. And then finally America said, okay, this is the guy we have to cover if we want to have any shot. And that's what they did. And Pachuca still managed to generate. I mean, that's just what a good team will do to you. But absolutely. I mean, it looked very different, you know, with Rondo not getting those spaces. It wasn't as effective as an offense as we saw, you know, in the previous two rounds. So I think full credit to America there, to your point, you know, on covering Rondo, not allowing him any, you know, any space, anything at all, really, because he was their central focus of the, for the match. That was clearly their game plan from the go. Don't give Rondo space. They didn't, and at least they didn't lose, right?
Exactly. They did not lose. Exactly. They did not lose. Okay, so, Charlie, your thoughts for this second leg down in Pachuca. What do you think either side needs to do to gain this advantage and head to the final?
Oh, it's such a tough question. I was thinking about this, you know, as soon as the first leg ended. And, I mean, Dan, I have to be honest, I have no idea. The thing about these two teams is they're so good, both at home and away. I mean, they rarely change the way they play. Independent of the, you know, regardless if they're at home or on the road. So it's so tough to take a stab here. Unlike, you know, if this was say Monterrey we were talking about, and they were going, you know, on the road, I would probably guess they would sit back and, you know, maybe try to manage the game somewhat. But these two offensive-minded head coaches and you know, with so dynamic and such quality on the ball, and who will never, you know, give up attacking, no matter what the score is, I just expect a shootout. Like, my take or my guess would be, I wouldn't be surprised if the score was, I don't know, 2-2, 3-3, you know, come the 70th, 75th minute, and, you know, just the next scorer wins. It's that type of match, and it would be great to see if that happened.
Absolutely, and hopefully we will have another blast for this second leg semifinal next week. Charlie, thank you again, as always, for joining me tonight. I hope to have you back on again next Friday to recap these games as well through the Liga MX perspective. I always appreciate you coming on. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
For sure, Dan. Thanks for having me on. Have a good one.
Thank you. All right, have a good night. That's Charlie Assam from FMF State of Mind of SB Nation, as once again, big, big matchups here in CONCACAF Champions Cup with those clubs in the club in MLS, which is Columbus Crew, and the three Liga MX clubs that are battling to be a part of that final, which will be on the weekend of June the 2nd, that Sunday night. Here is the schedule for the second leg of the semifinals in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Tuesday, April 30th, it will be Pachuca hosting Club America at the Estadio Hidalgo, 9:15 p.m. Eastern, 8:15 Central. And then on Wednesday, May the 1st, Monterrey hosting the Columbus Crew at the Estadio BBVA, 10:15 Eastern, 9:15 Central. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. I want to thank my guests tonight, Adam Miller from the Master Report, and once again, Charlie Assam from FMF State of Mind of SB Nation. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Join me this coming Monday night for another regular Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. Once again, my name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. This has been the CONCACAF Champions Cup 2024 Semifinals First Leg Review Show. Once again, as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Take care. So long, and have a good night. Take care. Have a good night, everybody.